Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Cellist Issei Hare creates expansive waves of sound through the processing and layering of her instrument. Her debut LP, Distant Intervals, includes ambient soundscapes and more rhythmic pieces, and is full of titles that hint at transformation, both musical and personal. Issei Hare is here in the studio to play some of those pieces and to debut a brand new work. She'll start us off the way the record does with a pair of pieces called Prelude and Obade. Well, that, believe it or not, is a live solo performance here in our studio from cellist and composer Issei Hare, Prelude and Obad. Those are the opening two tracks from her album called Distant Intervals, but as I say, played live. Mizu, the artist who records as Issei Hare, joining me and playing Mizu standing up.
Yes, indeed.
Given the fact that your feet are so active, you know, pressing pedals and buttons, I would think the conventional seated position would be better. Why standing?
Certainly. Great question. I ask myself that often. I'm often in fear of losing my balance and falling off the stage. But for me, it's all about the performance element, and I am definitely more visible on most stages when I'm standing, and I just love the body language when I see players standing and moving completely with their instrument. It's almost like a ballet, if you will. Especially with the footwork.
All right, well, that's a good answer, actually. I was also going to ask you how repeatable these pieces are, but I've got my answer, because Obad, for example, is clearly, it's recognizably the piece that's on the record. So there are very fixed, you know, these are fixed compositions, it seems.
Yes, indeed. So essentially, I hesitate to reveal my secrets, but I am using...
Well, then you shouldn't have come on Soundtrack, Mizu, because all secrets will be revealed here.
happy to share. Essentially, I'm using a backing track, sort of the cello layers that have been pre-baked, if you will, into my sampler, which I use. But I'm doing a lot of live looping and live effects through my pedal, through my pedals, which make each performance quite unique, I would say. Mm-hmm. There's an element of live improvisation, especially in between songs, as I've been performing this album, that I do solely with the pedals. But I enjoy, the recognizability of, of a song that we've listened to coming alive in live performance. So.
And Obad, to explain the word, it's the morning version of a serenade.
Yes.
So a serenade is an evening song, and Obad is a dawn song.
Yeah.
And many of the titles on Distant Intervals are from classical music, you know, the toccata, aria, but there are also subtitles. Mm-hmm. So the Obad is The Farewell is a Beginning. Mm-hmm. The aria is I Stand by the Reflecting Pool and Remember. Mm. And then at the end, the last track, Aveu, a tune that you're going to play for us later, is subtitled The Beginning is a Farewell. So that there's that My End is My Beginning thing, the T.S. Eliot.
Completely,
Which is also not a new phenomenon in classical music. Mm-hmm. Do you know the French composer Machaut?
Yes.
One of his famous pieces, Ma fin mm-hmm. et mes commencements. Mm. My end is my beginning. Mm.
Beautiful, yeah.
So there is a suggestion mm-hmm. in these subtitles of a story being told.
Absolutely.
What is that story?
Entitling these songs with the classical references, with the poetic nods, I hoped to give listeners maybe a little hint of, you know, what they can expect when clicking play.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully within those songs, you know, there's a lot of personal discovery, personal imagination. I've been told a lot that the music is akin to a cinema score, and there's maybe a narrative element embedded within there somewhere. But I think that's really up to each listener.
Sure, and you don't want to prescribe what a piece is going to mean to everybody out there.
Of course, I mean, at the same time, it's not called Untitled Number One,
right?
Which I also come from that world of playing and appreciate that that kind of music a lot. But yeah, little hints, and within that, total freedom for the listener.
Well, so there are a couple of, I mean, you mentioned transformation. There are a couple of transformations happening simultaneously. There's the musical transition from you as a person who comes from that classical world to this more kind of sound sculpting thing that you're doing now. And of course, a gender transition at the same time. So for you, was one a function? I mean, how closely related are those?
It's interesting because I think back to the time when I was making this album, I would say the 6 months or so that I was recording and composing, and they are inextricably linked together. That was exactly the time that I was starting to socially transition. And, you know, those first baby steps are actually, you know, maybe the scariest to take. And the album, in a way, was a safe space, almost like a digital diary for me, where I could just explore future possibilities, reckon with my past, and just grapple with the present, I suppose.
And now that you are in that future and looking back, when you play these pieces, does it take you back to that time?
At times it does. I will say, as a live performer, it's hard to get into that space when you're on stage in front of lots of people, you know, doing footwork, doing bow work, finger work. But there are moments where, especially as I start to collaborate with artists from other disciplines, dancers, costume, when those elements start coming in and I see how other people, other artists are interacting with the music, then it becomes something truly transcendent for me and really emotional, I would say. But very often I'm just, you know, thinking about playing in tune and all that.
Yes. You are a cellist after all. Yeah. Playing a fretless instrument, so tuning is always going to be a big issue. So Isehair is the name that you're continuing to use, your birth name,
yes,
as a professional name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mizu is what we're calling you now.
Yes.
And Mizu will be, speaking of performing, playing at the Noguchi Museum on Sunday, the 27th, in a show at 4 p.m., which is part of the Bang on a Can music series.
Yes,
our old friends.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Speaking of old friends, you studied with Fred Sherry?
I did, yes.
God, I haven't seen Fred in so long, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, he truly was the beacon of light during my time at Juilliard. I just, truly like a musical father to me, taught me so much, not just about the cello, but about how to listen to music, appreciate music, excavate, you know, historical background around a piece. He's truly, you know, a visionary.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the other transition. Maybe we can talk about this after the next piece is, you know, going from that world to this one.
Yes.
This world that you're still kind of exploring. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the piece you're going to play for us is brand new. Tell us a little bit about Flutter.
Yes. Okay. So I'm a little nervous, but I thought I would share little glimpses into the musical worlds that I'm kind of exploring right now. So Flutter is from an upcoming project of mine. And while Distant Intervals is very much built through me recording the acoustic cello, adding effects, building layers from the cello, this next project, I kind of flip it around. Instead of electronic ornamentation, I start with the electronic element. In this case, a number of samples, forest samples actually, sounds from nature, which I process in this program called MaxMSP for all the aficionados. And that was essentially my backdrop. And atop this, I'm exploring the acoustic cello in a very raw and virtuosic way.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So. Let's hear this brand new piece from Isehair. Mizu's going to debut it for us here in the studio today. It's called Flutter. That is Flutter, a new work from the artist known as Issei Hare, cellist and composer. And so Mizu is, you mentioned natural sounds. I can hear the flutter of wings, both in the tape part and in the actual live cello.
Totally.
So while we won't hold you to the title, it seems to suit the piece pretty well.
Oh, I'm glad.
Is this one of the things that you've been doing during your residency at Pioneer Works in Brooklyn?
I actually, so this is part of my next studio album. I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about this, but it's I actually finished it just before starting the residency. You know, now it's being shipped off for masters and all that. At my residency, I've been starting some brand new material, which I'm super excited about, and doing a lot of collaboration with different artists and friends.
Right, which is one of the great things about Pioneer Works is it's not just a concert venue, it's not just an art gallery, it's both of those, it's also like all these different interdisciplinary people getting together.
Yes, it's truly wonderful. I've so far been enjoying my time so much, and the people are so lovely there.
Yeah. So how did you get here musically? How did you go from studying, you know, classical musician at Juilliard, playing Bach and Mozart and Brahms, to, you know, creating your own sound world?
Yes. Like you mentioned, I am classically trained. Even before I started cello, I think I always knew I wanted to perform. I actually came from a musical theater background, which probably is not surprising to many people who know me. And I started cello when I was 7. Made it to Juilliard eventually. And while I was there, we mentioned Fred Sherry. He really opened up my musical world from, you know, the Bachs, Mozarts, Brahms to Elliot Carter, you know, Milton Babbitt.
Right, the high modernism of the 20th
century. Yeah, absolutely. Schoenberg, Stravinsky. And so I was really, you know, just within that world and just discovering so many amazing facets of that kind of music. As I graduated Juilliard, I was kind of in the world of contemporary classical music, working with a lot of living composers, you know, premiering, workshopping new pieces. But I found that I was slowly getting frustrated within myself, playing the same Beethoven sonata that 1,000 other cellists across the world, you know, play with equal facility and, you know, with each person their own meaningful interpretation. And I was starting to wonder, you know, where do I find my voice? And it was actually through just being queer in Brooklyn that I met Rachika Nair, dear friend and collaborator. I know she's been on the show.
Yeah, she's done a sound check session.
Yeah. We met at a party 2 years ago and, you know, quickly became friends. And at the time, she was releasing her debut album, Our Hands Against the Dusk. One of the songs featured cello, and she needed a live cellist. I started performing that song, and gradually that turned into me improvising over her other songs, us going on tour together. And, you know, she really kind of took me under her wing and encouraged me to start exploring musical software. We both use Ableton. She really opened that door for me, showed me how to record, showed me how to process my cello, how to warp and manipulate and ornament with synths. And so that is how I began composing, if you will. I still hesitate to call myself a composer. I never put pen to paper. Perhaps a better term is producer, if you will.
So Rachika Nair does with electric guitar,
yes,
what you're doing with the cello. And you have continued to collaborate with people. And, you know, the queer community has been obviously important to you. And Maria B.C., the singer, who is now based in Oakland.
Yeah, they're in Oakland.
They're on the final track of the record, which is the only title that's not straight out. The French word?
Actually, it comes from a movement in Schumann's Carnival, Opus 9. Yeah,
okay.
No secret that Schumann is probably my favorite classical composer.
Okay.
but Aveux means confession.
And the subtitle here is The Beginning is a Farewell. So a kind of a loop back to our beginning, you know, where the farewell is a beginning.
Yes.
that kind of cycling, what does that mean? What kind of meaning does that have for you?
Yeah, interesting question. I haven't really thought about it, but immediately I thought of, you know, I have a looper. I have a loop pedal right in front of me, and a lot of the music that I make is loop-based. You know, I'm stretching, you know, this single recorded moment in time, and, you know, we're listening to it repeatedly and adding elements and building layers from the loop. And I wonder... I hesitate to say this on the fly, but, you know, I wonder if there's a certain element of queerness and exploration to that. Yeah, maybe I won't go try.
It's interesting, though, yeah, that there is a kind of practical / technical explanation for that with the looping.
Yes.
And clearly some kind of feeling that there might be some other meaning to it that you haven't perhaps parsed yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's interesting that you mention sort of these bookends of the album between the Obad, Farewell's the Beginning, and Avo, the Beginning is a Farewell. I definitely do think of my, the albums that I've composed so far as kind of, whole pieces, entire works. And I think, you know, that's me coming from my classical background. You know, a whole symphony is a complete piece, or a sonata, or, you know, for example, Schumann, all of his beautiful songs, piano works, where they tell a whole story, multi-movement.
I'm also thinking of certain classic rock albums like Dark Side of the Moon that begins with the heartbeat and ends with the, so that it kind of loops around.
I love all of that.
The
circle of life.
yes So Aveu is the track you're going to play for us, and you've got Maria BC, they're in a box somewhere over there.
they're in there.
All right, here's another live performance that Misa will give us from her debut album as Issei Hare, the album called Distant Intervals. The piece is called Aveu, the beginning is a farewell. We'll hear a live performance. Thank you. Another live performance by Issei Hare here in the studio. The beginning is a farewell. Mizu, that's the last piece on the record, Distant Intervals. And it sounds like you've done with Maria B.C.'s voice the same kind of looping and layering process that you've done with the cello. Is that?
Yeah.
So what did they originally give you? What did you ask them for?
Essentially, I sent them the song, asked them to do a bit of improvising. I also sent them a few melodic ideas that I wanted. And they sent me multi-layered takes.
Well, that's interesting. There's another kind of loop happening there, which is you and Maria B.C. repeating the process by which you got into this music,
right.
Improvising with Rachika Nayar on her music.
Totally.
Nice kind of framing there.
So
Sunday, August 27, you're at the Noguchi Museum.
Yes.
That's solo, right?
I'm playing solo. I'm also sharing the bill with Matt Evans,
the drummer.
Fantastic friend, the percussionist. Yeah.
And how long are you in residence at Pioneer Works?
I'll be there until the end of August. However, you know, they're super accommodating and supportive to local artists, and hopefully there's more to come.
All right. Well, Mizu, it's been great having you here in the studio today and getting to hear this music and the new music in a live setting. Congratulations on Distant Intervals.
Thank you so much, John. It's truly a pleasure.
And thanks to our crew. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. Our video editor is Eric Weber. And you can find our videos here at newsounds.org or, of course, on the New Sounds YouTube channel. And you can keep up with everything we're doing by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Simply text New Sounds to 70101 or sign up at newsounds.org.